Welcome back to Disclaimers Aside, a bi-weekly podcast where I share the stories of people in my community, Disclaimers Aside. I'm your host, Aisara Amadou, and let's dive into this week's episode. Welcome back to Disclaimers Aside. How are you guys doing? If you guys don't follow Disclaimers Aside's podcast Instagram, I put together a post of some resources if you want to kind of get educated and just learn more about Palestine and what's going on right now and just like all of the history that has led us up to this moment. So it's a collective of some accounts to follow to just stay tuned and get raw and real updates on what is actually happening outside the realm of the biased Western media. It also has a list of some books to read. I've read a few books on the list, but these are definitely some books that I want to read soon. It's just a list that I gathered kind of from some of the books that people I've seen like on my timeline that people have been recommending. I'm actually reading, this is not one of the books on the list, but I'm reading A Woman Is No Man by Etaf Rum, and it is so good. And it's funny because I started the audiobook today, and everyone that I told that I was reading this book has told me that they love it. It's by a Palestinian author. I'm only an hour in, but the writing is just absolutely beautiful. So I would definitely add that to the list if you're looking for like a fiction book by a Palestinian author to support. The ones that I included on the list I think are more kind of focused on the history so that you can actually learn. The one that I've seen the most that people have been recommending to really learn about the history is the Hundred Years War. And then some of the other things that are included on that post are some relief funds to support and some films to watch. So my roommates and I actually watched one of the films on the list called Nyla and the Uprising last night. It was really interesting. It's on Prime Video. Came out in 2017, and it's basically about the first Intifada, and it focuses on the women's role in the first Intifada, because when that happened, a lot of men were being arrested and killed by the Israeli government. So women kind of had to step into the role of protesting, and it follows this woman named Nyla, who was kind of one of the leaders at the time. And it's really interesting. It doesn't give you the whole picture, but it does give you kind of a little bit of historical context, and you kind of just get to learn more about the Intifada, the first one, and how it went about and how women played such a crucial role in it. So definitely check out that post. Another one of the films that I watched out of that list was Gaza. I watched this last year for like a documentary screening, and it is really, really sad. I think even just especially if you were to watch it right now, it would be really hard to watch, but it's definitely necessary. It's a documentary that focuses on the daily life of living in Gaza, and it follows a majority children's lives, but it also just follows some adults. So I think that one's a really, really good watch just to understand kind of like the conditions and like what the conditions are kind of like right now. Another thing I would recommend is to listen to the Qalam podcast. If you haven't heard of it, there are a couple episodes that are really, really good, but one that I recently listened to was Hurdles Number 9. That one was a really, really good podcast episode. I actually took some notes on some of my takeaways from the episode because it was that good. So some of the things that they kind of discuss in the episode is he says that tyranny's greatest strength is fear, and that the oppressor's greatest strength is fear. So it's important to, while there's a lot of fear happening right now, fear of, you know, what's going to happen in this entire conflict, fear of like what speaking out could kind of look like the ramifications on people that are speaking out and posting, like it's important to not be consumed by that fear, especially as Muslims, because we should only fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He also says the oppressed are blinded by temporary powers. He also kind of discusses how when you see oppression in the world, you have to check for oppression within yourself. You have to reflect within yourself and kind of reflect on how you may be oppressing yourself, oppressing other people. He reminded listeners to stay focused, to not let these tribulations to stop you from moving forward. He talks about how when we're scrolling on social media, we can easily become numb and desensitized to a lot of the violence that we're seeing on our timelines, but it's important to not become desensitized. It's important to feel. It's really hard. It's really challenging. It's a lot of graphic and triggering stuff out there, but these people's histories deserve to be known, to be heard, to be felt. So it's important to feel. And obviously, I think it's important to take social media breaks, but you have to also keep up with it, what's happening. And the challenge, I think, with this situation in particular, with this genocide, is that it's not getting the coverage that it deserves in the Western media. He also talks about this hadith that I was thought was really powerful, and it basically talks about how it is clear that Muslims must speak justice in the face of tyranny, in the face of oppression, and this is not going to be easy. Standing up for standing up against injustice is never easy. I think that's something that a lot of people are realizing. Like, I think we look at history, we look at things like the civil rights movement, and we think in our heads like, oh, that's easy. Like, it's easy to think that if I lived during that time period, that I would also be an active participant in civil disobedience, that I would also be on the front lines, not really realizing the dangers and the ramifications that came up with speaking up against injustice. And so it's important to understand that it is struggle. Like, a part of standing up for what is just, standing up for what is right, is struggle. But what makes the ummah, is that we stand up for what is right. Really great podcast episode. I'll have it linked in the show notes. Another podcast that I really recommend listening to is Umar Suleiman's podcast. I think his podcast episodes on Palestine have been very healing. And honestly, every single time I listen to his episode, it's like exactly what I need to hear. Take care of yourself. I know it's a really rough time. It's a really hard time. But also, like, remember that at the end of the day, this is not us that this is happening to. This is happening to Palestinians and the Palestinian community. So as hard as it might be for you, it's 10 times harder for Palestinians. And so check in on your Palestinian friends. Be there to support them, because they especially need that support during this time. On a little bit of a lighter note, I did want to recap real quickly what my thoughts were on the finale of Love is Blind, because it is officially out. It's all on Netflix. You guys gotta go catch up. I know not everyone has probably watched the entire season, just because it just finished last weekend from when I'm recording this. I know this episode is going to be a little bit delayed. Like, I'm pre-recording this episode, so by now it'll have been out for a couple weeks, but I am going to keep it as spoiler-free as possible. I was a little bit shocked, I'm not going to lie, at the ending. I thought the reunion episode was really, really interesting to watch. I don't know if this is just me, but I feel like my favorite part of the entire season is the reunion episode. I enjoy the reunion episode so much more than the wedding episode. I honestly don't really care as much about the wedding episodes. Like, they're interesting, but I just kind of want to know, like, who's saying yes and who's saying no. But what I really like about the reunion episode is, like, everyone, or at least the relevant cast members, are finally coming together and are finally able to confront each other and actually have a discussion about, like, what went on throughout this season. And I feel like they're able to properly have discussions with one another that they might not have been able to discuss in the pods and just throughout the season as a whole. I believe there's usually like a couple months in between when the weddings happen and when the reunion happens too. So I think it's really cool to even just see that and like see how much they've changed. Like, some in the past, I believe there have been couples that like got together in the show and like were together till the end of the season, and then the reunion, you find out that they're not together again. And just exploring all of that is really interesting. And like just hearing their reflections on the experiment, because it is kind of an experiment at the end of the day. I think as the seasons are going on, something that I'm noticing a lot is that like less and less couples are actually making it out. And even with the couples that do make it out, just something I've noticed from previous seasons is a lot of them will actually get married, or some of them will get married and then eventually split up or get divorced afterwards, which is kind of crazy. I don't know if part of it is the fact that people are in these seasons finally know about the show and like kind of go into the show with the wrong reasons, you know, maybe to become famous and get some screen time. But surprisingly, I feel like less and less the cast members are actually ending up together in the end, which is very interesting to see. I think there were a couple seasons where like the big issue, I feel like it was like seasons two and three, where the main issue were people were just not honest about the fact that like physical attraction matters to them. That was a theme that I saw in season 2 and 3. I feel like they're a little bit past it. Like, it's not as much of an issue anymore. I think what I'm seeing as like a common theme with season 5 and season 4 is just the amount of deception that's happening. People lying to each other, lying about each other, not being honest. And so it's just interesting to see all of that unfold. Definitely catch up on Love is Blind. I feel like it's just one of those shows that, like, especially post midterms, like, I can just turn off my brain and just decompress. A little bit of a school update. I feel like I haven't been talking about school as much here on the podcast. Usually I feel like I keep you guys more up to date in my vlogs, but I haven't been vlogging or just posting consistently. It's honestly really not like a lack of time for me to film. It's more of a lack of time for me to edit, because editing is the most time consuming thing. Genuinely, my schedule this semester is actually insane. Like, I really thought that going into the semester that my workload was a little bit lighter, but it wasn't. Who was I kidding? Like, I think it's definitely because the source of it are my classes. I signed up for 3 reading heavy classes without realizing it, and hopefully that won't happen again next semester, inshallah. But regardless, I'm really excited at my semester because I have 2 classes that I'm taking that are once a week, and then 1 class that's twice a week. So that like kind of condenses how, like, I guess it's the same amount of class time, but it kind of condenses it more so that I have days where I have little to no class and I can just have more catch-up days in general, which thank God I have Wednesdays off, because that is the only thing keeping me sane genuinely throughout the week. And it's like perfect because it's right in the middle of the week. Surprisingly, I just need that Wednesday break. It almost doesn't even feel like a break with the amount of work that I have in my classes, but I'm not mad about it, because I do think this has probably been my busiest semester in college thus far, and I do think it'll make graduating that much more satisfying. I don't know if this is a toxic thought of mine, but like the other day I was low-key thinking about it, and I realized that like it's kind of nice to like finish off a little bit stressed, or feel like I had a little bit of a stressful year this year, because then I feel like it'll make graduating all the more sweeter. I don't know if I'm just deluding myself and I'm trying to cope, but that's kind of how I look at things. But I'm really trying to plan for a little bit of a more chiller spring semester, because I want to enjoy my time at Berkeley. I want to just not feel as stressed my spring semester, and there's going to be a lot going on in terms of graduation that I want to be able to feel like I can put all my time and energy into. But it was really hot the other day. It was like almost 90 degrees. It was like 88 on campus. And around sunset is when it started to kind of cool down, and I was coming out from class. I was in between class, and then I was going to the masjid for iftar, because this week the MSA on campus organized like a day where people fast together, and then we broke our fast together at Berkeley Masjid, made a collective dua, and so that the fasting would kind of compound the power of the dua to make dua for Palestine and also Afghanistan. Like, Afghanistan just had a really, really bad earthquake and has been dealing with a lot of the aftershocks of that. So that's also going on. Don't let that get lost in like everything that's going on right now, including what's happening in Sudan. Oh my gosh, that's a whole nother thing. It's been like a year at this point since the whole conflict in Sudan, which is crazy. And the amount of people that have been killed in that conflict is insane. Subhanallah. Like, I was seeing the stats, like the death toll, and I was genuinely in shock. And also, apparently Israel was involved in that. That's actually crazy. I didn't realize that Israel gave weapons to the military group in Sudan. But so much going on in the world, so we really wanted to come together as a community, fast together, make dua, do what we can with the privilege that we have. And so it was in between that time where I just finished class and I had like an hour before I needed to like head over to the masjid, and I was so tired because it was just a long day and it was hot and it was finally cooling down. And I went and I like sat on this little ledge by Sather Tower, like that kind of that area between the library, Doe Library, and Sather Tower. It's just such a pretty, like, the marbly area, and has a bunch of different ledges where you can just sit down and do work. And I just was like doing work outside, and it hit me that like I have like 6 months left on this campus and that I really need to make the most of it because I'm not gonna get this time back. I know I keep on saying this, but it's like I'm really trying to make the most of the time that I have while I'm in it, because I know when I look back at this time, I'm gonna miss it. And so especially right now when the weather's been kind of in that summer to fall transition weather, where it's like not too hot to where it's unbearable to sit outside, but warm enough that it's not freezing. I've been trying to like do work outside and do work on campus, sit on the glade, all of that kind of stuff. Because sitting in a cafe, there will always be cafes, but like being on campus, like just being outdoors and being on campus has an expiration date. I had enrollment this week, honestly had a very successful enrollment, alhamdulillah. It's my last enrollment, so if I couldn't get classes this semester, it's like how is the rest of this school getting classes, genuinely? And then the LSAT made a huge announcement this week. I don't know if you guys saw it, but the LSAT announced that they would be getting rid of the logic games section of the test, and they would be replacing that section with a second logical reasoning section. So I believe it's two logical reasoning sections, a reading comprehension section, and then an experimental section that can be either logical reasoning or the reading comprehension, and then the essay. And they're starting this August of 2024, which is perfect because it's around the time when I want to take it, inshallah. And I was planning on starting, I was planning on starting October 1st, but October has just been such an insane month. I don't even know why I thought that was possible with midterms, with just like everything going on. Like it's actually been such a busy month. It was just not possible for me. So I'm actually glad that I didn't like sign up for a prep course, pay all this money before they announce that they're like altering the test. I'm really not looking forward to studying for it, but it does need to start in the next couple months. My unpopular opinion for this week is probably not too unpopular, but what can I say? And it's that I thought that Drake's new album was trash. I'm so sorry, you guys. It's probably not as relevant because you guys are gonna be hearing this episode a couple weeks after I record it, but Drake needs to stop making music, because his music in the past few years has just been abysmal. I really did not like Her Loss. After a couple months, I feel like the album kind of started to grow on me a little bit, but still as a whole, I just don't really love that album. I just think the lyrics are so corny. Then he released this newest album and I really tried. I was excited because I really liked the song with SZA that he did. That was like the precursor to the album. But when I listened to the album, like I could barely get through. I really had to force myself to like get through that album. He has been on such a decline. Out of his most recent ones, the ones that I really like are Honestly Nevermind and Certified Lover Boy. But as a whole, I just think that he's been trying to release music way too quickly. He's been doing like two albums a year. He has a son. I don't know what else he's doing, but he needs to stop. Like someone needs to seriously stop him because this is actually sick. So this week we're going to be talking about building confidence. This podcast episode really came out of a question that I got when I was filming a Q&A Get Ready With Me last week for YouTube. Someone was asking about advice on building confidence, and it's honestly a topic that while I touched on in that Q&A, I kind of talked about how like it's such a expansive and like larger conversation, it's kind of hard to fit in like a 15-minute Q&A. And so I figured I would record a podcast episode and just talk about confidence, building confidence, self-consciousness, and just mitigating self-consciousness a little bit, because it's something that I haven't really talked about on this podcast before. I feel like as a whole, everyone experiences self-consciousness. People tell you they have never felt self-conscious in their life. That's a lie. Like everyone feels self-conscious at some point. So I, like any other human being, have struggled with self-consciousness and struggled with confidence, but it's alhamdulillah not been something that has been super crippling. And I definitely have felt like with age, it's something that has become less of an issue. Like I feel like I struggled with self-consciousness at a time that most people struggle with self-consciousness, and that was really middle school and high school. And I think as I matured and grew, as I gained more wisdom, that kind of went away. Confidence is definitely something that like especially if you really struggle with confidence and like you definitely struggle with feeling self-conscious a lot in your life, that if you don't actively work on it, if you don't actively work to build your confidence, it's not gonna magically disappear. Or it might take 30, 40 years to disappear. But I think it really is something that you have to kind of take a little bit of a more active approach, unless you're a narcissist or your ego is like in the clouds. One thing that people say a lot of the times when it comes to building confidence is like, fake it till you make it. And I do think that this is true. Like if you fake it, it will, like if you pretend like you are that girl, you will feel like that girl. But that's something that I feel like only goes so far. Like you feel like that girl in like the 10-15 minutes when you're walking down the street, but then it kind of fades very quickly. And I think it also is like kind of a pseudo self-confidence or a pseudo confidence that really is very surface level, because you're not doing like the intrinsic work to build your confidence. Having said that, I do think when it comes to working on building self-confidence, it really does start by the intrinsic work. So it starts by reflecting on your insecurities. You really have to dismantle your over-limiting beliefs. And what this means is like, you have to become more mindful and introspective and pay attention as negative thought patterns kind of come up. When you notice that you're brain is falling into these negative thought patterns or you're spiraling, take notice of it. Even write it down. Honestly, I feel like writing things down really does help. It's not only cathartic, but then it can help you when you're kind of trying to figure out like, what are the areas that I need to build confidence in? Because I think with confidence, like we can have certain levels of confidence. Like we can have confidence in certain spheres. We can be confident about our physical appearance, but then we can struggle with confidence in terms of like our self-worth. Like we can be insecure about our personality, whereas someone else can kind of struggle with confidence in your ideas and who you are as an intellectual. So there are different areas where you can struggle with confidence. So really just recognizing first, where are your insecurities, and really just like documenting them and just like processing them. And then I think once you have all of the things that you feel like you are the most insecure about, you really have to take the time and understand why you are the way you are. I've never been to therapy, but everyone tells me that when you go to therapy, the number one thing that you learn is that like everything is rooted in your childhood traumas. Like everything is rooted in your childhood. So when you notice you have an insecurity, try and think about what in your childhood may have led you to that point. Or think about the things about you that are distinct and how they came about as a result of your childhood. And I think the easiest way for you to figure this out outside of going to therapy, because I know not everyone has equitable access to therapy, is journaling. I really love journaling. If you want to actually get the value out of journaling, you really have to be willing to be vulnerable with journaling. It can be hard to be vulnerable when you're journaling, because you may be thinking to yourself, what if someone gets a hold of my journal? Or you may be thinking to yourself, thinking what you're writing is not like intellectual enough. I know I've definitely sometimes caught myself like journaling and then thinking, oh wait, I shouldn't write this sentence because this is not like, this doesn't sound good, or this doesn't sound intellectual. And I'm really trying to unlearn that. I think we can get so conditioned to like constantly trying to make things marketable and intellectualizing everything, but like your journal should be the space where you don't intellectualize your feelings, your thoughts, your emotions. That should be raw and real and honest. So it's important to be vulnerable, to be raw, to be honest, otherwise you won't take the value out of journaling. And there's multiple different forms of journaling. You don't have to have like one of those journals where you literally write words down. People have like video journals or like the voice memos app, the notes app. Like there's just so many formats with journaling that you can kind of use, but I definitely recommend some form of journaling to kind of like understand why you are the way you are and like what things have happened in your life to shape you to become who you are and how that connects to some of your insecurities. Really quickly, I want to talk about physical confidence, because I've already kind of recognize that like confidence is more than just your physical appearance, but a lot of sometimes people do just struggle with self-confidence in terms of their physical appearance. Like they're all good mentally and emotionally and intrinsically, but it's really like the physical appearance that they're struggling with. And there are just a few quick fixes to, I think, help you build more confidence. But I also do think your physical well-being, like how you care for yourself physically on the outside, does contribute in some ways to your intrinsic self-worth and self-confidence. So invest in your physical appearance, invest in skincare, invest in makeup. And when you're doing your makeup, use makeup in a way that accentuates your features. Learn how to do your makeup in a way that accentuates your features. I have a podcast episode that I recorded recently called Hot Girls Don't Gatekeep, where I share all of my recs for like skincare, makeup, fashion, all of that. So if you guys are looking for specific recs, definitely listen to that podcast episode. But definitely invest in things like that. And on a similar note, Fashion helps tremendously with self-confidence. One thing I have learned is like when you are put together on the outside, you will feel put together on the inside. People ask me all the time, how do you have time to put together an outfit? Because like when I go come to class, I come to class dressed. I don't like to come to class looking bummy. Like even my most like casual outfits are like kind of put together loungewear type outfits. And it's really because what I've learned about myself having done self-reflection is like I noticed that when I don't put together an outfit in the morning, even a very simple outfit, but when I don't take the time and be intentional about like what I'm wearing, it throws off my entire mood and it throws off my entire day. And the clothes that you wear actually do have an impact on the way you see yourself and the way that you feel throughout your day. So I do think it is really important. I recommend if you don't have time in the mornings, or you find that you're like just too tired, or you're like in a rush in the mornings the night before, check the weather, pick out an outfit. That's what I do sometimes, because I have really early mornings sometimes, and that's how I'm able to like rush out the door but still like put together in an outfit that like I feel comfortable and confident in. It's really important. It's a form of self-care. Invest in clothes that you feel confident in, that you feel comfortable in, that you feel like expresses who you are. Like just take the time to invest in fashion. Learn what you like. Invest in pieces that you genuinely love, that bring joy to you, and it'll help tremendously with your outlook, with your psyche. I just genuinely recommend investing in fashion. And then last note on kind of like the physical confidence side of things is to follow creators, like online digital creators that look like you, so that you can kind of relate, so that you can redefine beauty standards. Because a lot of the times I think Western beauty standards have a lot of hegemony in the world. I think Western beauty standards really unfortunately are not only very unrealistic for a majority of the world, but can make you just hate your natural features that like actually are considered beautiful in like the place that you're from. So really just invest in people that actually look like you, like follow creators that actually look like you, that have the same skin tone as you, that has similar features to you, around the same size as you. And that will genuinely change your self-worth and self-confidence tremendously. If you're constantly consuming content creators that like look so good, and they do not look like you, they are white as paper and they do not look like you, you are going to constantly feel like you are in a place of deficiency, and that you, despite how much you invest in your physical appearance, you can never attain sort of this level of satisfaction when it comes to your physical appearance. So I cannot stress how important it is just to be following creators that look like you, and realize that like even if you don't fit into the American beauty standards, you most definitely fall into the beauty standards at home, back home in the motherland. So back to kind of the discussion of some of the intrinsic ways to work on your self-confidence. I think the way that you carry yourself is very, very important. the way that you carry yourself shapes the way you see yourself. And it really comes down to things like, how do you speak to people? What language do you use? How do you treat people? The way that you carry yourself is very, very important. Think about someone that you respect. Think about the way that they carry themselves, the way that they speak about themselves, the way they speak about others. It's just such like a distinct air. And I think if you really hone in on the way that you carry yourself, you'll notice a lot of things, and you'll also just, everything else in your life will kind of align. Like, if you're trying to attain this like a higher level of respect for yourself, everything is gonna have to get in order to kind of even get to that place. So carrying yourself highly, it not only shapes like the way other people see you, but it also shapes the way you see yourself, which is even more important. Hone in on the things that you are good at. I will never forget something that Barbara from Shark Tank said. She said, the best thing that you can do is to find a niche skill and become the best at that skill in the industry. And that's how you become successful. It's not really trying to be unique or whatnot. It's people who are the best at what they can do. Like, become the best, like, find a skill and just become the best at it. That's why I really do like to emphasize, when you're in your undergrad, to like explore, try out new things, find things that you enjoy, find things that you are good at, and really just like hone in on those things. I think once you become an expert at something, you bring value. And once you bring value to the table, you will see yourself with more respect. Another thing is to protect your peace. I cannot emphasize this enough. I don't know when it is that I started like prioritizing protecting my peace. I think it really is something that I learned in college. I want to say it was during the pandemic. I think the pandemic really shifted things a lot for me mentally. I don't know exactly why or how. I think possibly it was just all of that alone time that made me reflect a lot on myself and just reflect on, you know, high school and all of that, and think about, especially because the pandemic really hit for me at a pivotal time. It was a transitional time. It was the time that I was supposed to be going off to college. And it was like a year and a half to 2 years where I really got to sit in my house by myself and really reflect on who I was and like who I wanted to be and like how did I want to fill those gaps. And I was doing a lot of journaling during the pandemic, and that really helped me become so much more mature and just like learn more about myself and like the areas that I personally want to improve in. And one of the things that I really wanted to do was just to protect my peace. Certain things that I would have engaged in before, I just don't engage in anymore. It's really just removing yourself from things that are just going to be a detriment to your peace. You can't control everything in the world, but you can control how you react to things in the world. That's my philosophy on things. I feel like when I was younger, I used to be so wrapped up in or consumed by what everyone else thought. Like, what, I'm not just talking about my peers, like I'm talking about what everyone in the world thought. Like, I was the type of person where I wanted to be liked by everyone. And no one can be liked by everyone. My mom always repeats this like Spanish saying. I can't remember the exact phrasing, but it's like, the only thing that is loved by everyone is money. And it's so true. And also another thing that I was thinking about, that I've been thinking about recently, is, I don't know where I heard this, but someone was talking about the fact that the people that are liked by a wide cohort of people, it's because they have to compromise something. Something has to give. So they have to compromise their personality, their very unique personality that may only be appealing to a small cohort of people, to become more appealing to a larger group of people. And wouldn't you rather just be surrounded by and liked by people that genuinely like you for who you are? That's something you have to really think about when you find yourself in this pattern of like constantly chasing the approval of a wide mass of people. And it's really hard. It really is, because it's something that happens very, very subconsciously at a level that you don't always notice. But you really have to do the introspective work and notice your thought patterns and notice, am I doing this because I want to be liked by a large mass of people, or am I doing this because this is like actually what I want? And kind of speaking to other people and circles, surround yourself with people that positively affirm you. Surround yourself with people that you people always say, like, surround yourself with people that are going to push you to be a better person. But it's truly so important. And I think that's why our parents at a young age are so invested in us making good friends and so invested in, like, who we're friends with. Like, I'm sure everyone experiences this when they're younger, where their parents don't want them to be friends with, don't want you to be friends with certain people because they're worried about your friends being a bad influence. But it's true. People around you, the people around you really heavily influence you. It influences the way you speak. Like, that's something you'll notice, something I notice. Like, I will find myself picking up specific slang from the people that I'm always around because that is what I hear. Your personality will kind of be swayed, or your interests will kind of be swayed by the people you are surrounded with because you care about them. So they're gonna directly have an influence on you subconsciously. It's so important to be friends with people that, like, are good people, number one, and people that you would want to become or take qualities from, but also with people that positively affirm you. We've all had that friend that just cannot be happy for you. No matter what you do, they cannot be happy for you. They cannot be there for you. They cannot be your cheerleader. And it really, you don't cut those friends out. You do not want those people in your life. You want people that will be there for you during your highs and your lows. People that will be there to celebrate, that are happy, as happy for you as they would be for yourself. And you also want to be that same person for other people. Like, make sure you too are bringing the same energy and that you are being happy for your friends, that you are being the type of friend that you would want your friend to be towards you. Music. This is going to be a really short point because it's really self-explanatory. But, like, if you don't have playlists, like curated playlists that get you fired up, I'm telling you guys, nothing gets me fired up for an event, a party, more than a fire playlist. Like, it genuinely pumps me up, especially when I'm going into, like, a social environment that I'm not the most familiar with or that I'm a little bit on the more nervous side about. Music will bring you up. It will lift your spirits. It genuinely does wonders. And last but not least, delusionality is key. Delusionality actually does help. Like, I think delusionality and, like, the whole fake it till you make it kind of go hand in hand. But low-key, like, everyone could use, like, a healthy dose of delusionality in your life. I think it's delusionality that makes you take risks, makes you try new things and do things that you wouldn't normally do under other circumstances. And those sometimes bring some of the best experiences out of life that, like, you would completely miss on if you didn't have just slightly a little bit of delusionality. Like, was I a little delusional applying to Berkeley? Yes, but did I also end up miraculously getting in and absolutely loving it? Yes. So delusionality is important, just a little bit. I hope you guys enjoyed this week's podcast episode. And just remember that confidence is something that fluctuates. It's something that, like, we all struggle with, and that we all have periods of times where our confidence is high and low. And it's normal to struggle with your confidence. These are things that I think can kind of help with confidence a little. I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. I will chat with you guys in my next episode. Make sure to check out the show notes for all of the links that I mentioned, and I will chat with you guys in my next episode. Bye.